I began sharing some important things that we need to know and understand about the baptism of in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And one of the things, so what we actually are going to over the next few weeks as God leads us is to talk about what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, its benefits, its value in its life, and how it will really be a tremendous blessing, what God intended it to be. And what we found that Jesus told us in Luke 11, we're going to turn there again tonight in verse 13, Jesus told us in Luke 11, the Holy Spirit was God's gift to his children. Yeah. Amen. Let's read this. If ye then, evil as you are, know how to give good gifts, gifts that are to their advantage. I love that. You know what? As natural parents, you would give gifts to your children's advantage. Then you should realize that as much as you love your children and want your children to have the best, how much more would the Heavenly Father want? We're not better parents than God Almighty is. Come on. And so it says, gifts to their advantage to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask him? Now, talking about a number of those things last week, what we continued in this was explaining the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And as we did, we looked at his work both in the new birth and in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and how they are two separate, distinct experiences. And so it's very important that we understand there's a difference between being born of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. The truth is, we need both. Now, I'm going to say this: Jesus is God's gift to the world, but the Holy Spirit is the Father's gift to his family, to his children. And there is a difference between their two separate and subsequent experiences that God wants all of mankind to experience. So let me explain a little bit. The new birth or salvation is God's introduction unto his life and nature to the sinner. So in other words, before we're saved, when we accept Christ, before we become saints or children of God, we're actually sinners. We need the life and nature of God that comes to us via the new birth or salvation. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is God's introduction of his supernatural power in his children's life. And so this is why we can clearly see it's two separate experiences. The new birth is primarily for our own good and for your own personal blessing. The Holy Spirit comes in the new birth to live within us, primarily guiding and leading the believer into all truth. We could call it the Spirit within, the Holy Spirit within. That's what the Scripture calls it. But we also find being baptized in the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit, which means the same thing, enables God's power to flow out of you to bless others. The Spirit of God actually comes upon us, and it's known as the Spirit upon. So in the new birth, we have the Spirit within. Amen. And we never lose the Spirit within. We just receive the addition. The Spirit comes upon us in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And also, one's within, one's upon, but both are for our benefit. First, salvation is personally affects us, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit was designed to flow through us to affect others. Amen. Through our lives. It is a great benefit to us to know the Holy Spirit through the new birth. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an additional blessing, amen, to this. By it, God has also given us the opportunity to experience a greater measure of the Spirit. How many know that when you and I got born again, we didn't get everything that the Holy Spirit had? We have the Holy Spirit, but how many know we haven't experienced everything of the Holy Spirit? I mean, I'm just telling you, as much as we have the Holy Spirit, we surely haven't experienced everything that the Holy Spirit has to bring. This is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important. And being filled with the Holy Spirit is the beginning, but just the beginning. So if you're taking notes tonight, those are taking notes, and I'm going to entitle tonight's message, Just the Beginning. Just the Beginning. So what do I mean by just the beginning? Well, the initial infilling of the Holy Spirit is wonderful. But that initial experience, in other words, being filled with the Spirit and speaking of the tongues, is only meant to be the beginning, the start. Praise God. The start. It is to be way more than a one-time supernatural experience. Many people, unfortunately, because they're not taught, they may have been filled, but they have never been taught the benefits of the Spirit-filled life and praying and speaking in other tongues. So many people, after the initial infilling, never know that it's to be an ongoing river that never dries up. Amen. And so as important as the initial infilling of the Holy Spirit is, and wonderful it is still the initial experience. It's only meant to be the beginning of the start. And so, once again, it's way more than just a one-time supernatural experience. It's to be a constant, a continual river that never dries up, and is to be actively embraced and practice or use in the daily life of the believer. That's why I call it, it's just the beginning. Because being filled with the Holy Spirit is the beginning of the Spirit-filled life. You're being born again is the beginning of your Christian life. But being filled with the Spirit is the beginning of your Spirit-filled life. And how many know that God thinks that's important and that's necessary? If it wasn't, then why did Jesus call it the promise of the Father and say, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high? It was of utmost importance and essential. So it's valuable. I'm never downplaying salvation. You know, that's first and foremost. You must be saved. You must be born again, Jesus said. But that's the beginning of your Christian walk with God. But the beginning of your Spirit-filled life is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And God says we need both. Hallelujah. Because the second is only going to benefit and advance you in the first. In other words, being Spirit-filled is going to help you to live a better Christian life. Praise God. And it help you to accomplish what God has called you to do. And something that we must realize, know, and understand is Spirit-filled living requires Spirit-filled teaching. It's just true. Now I'm just taking my time there, let that sink in. Because you'll never maintain, listen, you're not called to maintain, but you'll never maintain, much less grow in the Spirit-filled life and living without Spirit-filled feeding. You cannot. Because how does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You must be hearing teaching. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You must hear teaching along this line and be taught about the person, work, and ministry of the Holy Spirit, which would include the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to know His purpose, His work in our lives. And without that feeding, we are not being fed the whole gospel. How many know we need the whole gospel? Which would include healing, which would include, yes, once again, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I can go through Scripture and show you. For instance, a lot of times people, you know, Brother Hagin said it like this one time. He taught a lot about faith and healing. And of course, that ruffles the feathers of the devil and some believers. But you know what? I always found out this, that whatever would strengthen my faith was good for me. And at some time in my life, I'm going to need healing. Matter of fact, sometimes more often than I want to admit. But by knowing what the Scripture teaches, I can receive it from God. And I'm way better off by knowing that God has provided it. The same time He provided healing. Actually, let me say it like this. The same time he provided salvation and forgiveness of his sins on the cross, he provided healing from our diseases at the same time. And we're not to forget those benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, heal all the diseases, Psalms 103, verse 2 and 3. And the only way we can receive anything from God is by our faith. And this is why we must hear the word of God, and why faith is so important. And in order to have faith, we must hear the word of faith to produce faith in that. See, all of this goes together. And Brother Hagin said, he was teaching one time, and he made the statement that he was preaching to a bunch of pastors. And he said, well, you know, you really ain't never started preaching the gospel yet until you included healing in that. And after the message that night, a preacher came up to him and didn't argue with him, but said, you made an interesting statement that really shook me to the core. Could you explain a little further on that? And he says, well, what was that statement? I said a lot. What was the statement? He said, you know, preach the gospel if you haven't included healing in that. In other words, you haven't preached the full gospel until you at least included healing in that. And he says, well, it's simple. That's what the scripture teaches. He says, well, you heard me teach tonight, but let me give you an example of that. And he just opened up to, and I'm going to read it to you, and you can write this down, in Acts chapter 14. And it says this in verse 7. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. And the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly abode in him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Now, how did he get faith to be healed? He heard something. He had to hear the gospel. It says he preached the gospel, and he had to hear the healing word in order to have faith to be healed. And he said, with a loud voice, stand up right on your feet. And he leaped and walked. So here, without me doing a bunch of sidetrack here, we can see that healing of the gospel must include the healing of our diseases. And that man wisely said, he looked at Brother Hagin, and he says, well, he says, I can see I've never really preached the gospel yet, but he says, I'm going to get at it. Praise the Lord. And so, in other words, the full gospel. And so all of these things are for our benefit. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and what I was getting at was, if we're going to receive the benefits of not just the Christian walk, but the Spirit-filled walk, if we're going to live by the Spirit, we're going to have to be taught the way of the Holy Ghost. And it's going to require Spirit-filled feeding. Amen. Where we hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's not never talked about, or if it is, it's shunned off to some side room, because after all, we don't want to offend nobody. Now, I can just tell you, we've had more people over the years. We've had a number of people that came in and left, because once they heard that we believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues, once they found out we believed the Bible, come on, let me just say it like that, they left. That was too much for them. But you know what? I'd rather for that to be too much for them than me to compromise and say, well, you know, we're just going to water it down, or we're going to go around those other issues, because after all, that's not really that important. We can save that for the side room, the back room, for small groups and that kind of stuff. No, you're going to find out in just one moment it's a major issue. It's a major topic, and God didn't delegate it to a side room or to something to be hidden or not talked about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, this is why Paul addressed this. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I want to have you ignorant. Now, we found out last week that this word spiritual gifts, the word gifts there is in italics. If you're in the King James Version Bible, it's in italics. That means that it's not there in the original Greek manuscripts. It's added by the translators. That's why it's italicized. They did it thinking that it would further clarify what the scripture is teaching. However, what this is actually saying is now concerning spiritual gifts, it's actually this word spiritual is spirituals. It means things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. Because actually chapter 12 talks about, number first of all, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, it talks about the body of Christ being placed or baptized into the body of Christ. The believer being baptized into the body, which is a total different baptism. When we get born again, we get baptized or placed into the body of Christ, and we become members in particular. And then the last portion of chapter 12 talks about the ministry gifts that are given and empowered by the Holy Spirit. So Paul let us know that there's three things in the New Testament that Paul said he didn't want us to be ignorant of. You want to know what they are? Number one, spiritual gifts, things pertaining to of the Holy Spirit. Number two, the rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And yet you got people that argue all the time about I ain't arguing, I'm just telling you like it is. And it's going to happen prior to the 7 years of tribulation. Clearly, the Scripture teaches us the believer is not appointed to wrath, but obtained salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third thing is found in, that he didn't want us to ignore it, is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where he talked about the types and shadows in the Old Covenant. You know why? He don't want us to be ignorant of. The Old Covenant, Old Testament is Scripture. Yeah. Divinely inspired. We need it just like we need the New Testament. Right. Now, we can't live as a New Testament believer like a Old Testament Jew. We're not called to live like an Old Testament Jew. Come on. I don't have time to teach that, but the book of Acts clearly tells us there's a difference. However, we are to understand the types and shadows of the Old Testament because it teaches us the value of right and wrong, what to do, what not to do, and how God dealt with Israel, how he's going to deal even with his church. So we can avoid the pitfalls that they avoided and receive the blessing that God wants us to receive. Now, I gave you a little extra bonus there, but that's all right. So God is letting us know one of the things he doesn't want us to be ignorant of would, since it's things pertaining to the Holy Spirit, would be the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking of the tongues. Because being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking of the tongues, listen to what I'm getting ready to say, is the doorway to the supernatural in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's the doorway. This is why I say it's the beginning. It's just the beginning. It's the beginning. It's a starting spot, it's just the beginning. And thank God, because God doesn't want us to stop there. He wants the door to be open, and we walk right on through. Amen. So I'm going to say it again so that we understand this, because being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues is the doorway to the supernatural and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me help you one moment with this statement. Salvation is the doorway to the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, it's when you get saved, salvation is the doorway for the fruit of the Spirit. Romans chapter 5, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I know that it says the fruit of the Spirit. Let me give you a little lesson real quick. It's capitalized in the King James Version in another translation, but there's only one word in the Greek for the word pneuma or spirit. It's always. The translators have to determine whether it's actually the Holy Spirit that he's been talking about, and many times we know when it's the Holy Spirit by context or by the articles that are associated in the language that says the Holy Spirit. In this case, it doesn't say that. So it leaves it up to the interpreter or the translators to determine whether it's the Holy Spirit or your recreated, born-again human spirit. In this case, it is the recreated, born-again human spirit. How do we know that? Because the scripture teaches us, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Not a trick question. Where does the fruit get picked off from? The branches. The Holy Spirit is not the one that bears fruit. You're the one that bears fruit because of the life of Christ within. And so it is the fruit of the Spirit, the recreated, born-again Holy Spirit. So this is why salvation is the doorway to the fruit of the Spirit. Praise God. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the doorway to the supernatural and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God, the truth is, God has an entire lifetime of supernatural adventures in store for us as we learn to follow and flow with the Holy Spirit and operate in the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, I remember hearing Brother Hagin, I alluded to this a moment ago, and it'll make sense to you when you hear me say this. Brother Hagin told an experience one time that he had of a visitation with Jesus Christ, and he talked to him about his life, about his ministry, and some things that God wanted him to do, particular about his ministry. And there were several things that he shared. Brother Hagin was really good. He always wants you. He always left you wanting more than he gave you, because a lot of times he would only share things that were pertinent to what he was teaching right then. And there was a lot of other things. He understood, if you get on these other things, I'm not focused on what I got to focus on. After one of those testimonies that he gave concerning a visitation from the Lord and some of the things that Lord said to him, a person came up to him and said, Brother Hagin, is there anything in particular that the Lord emphasized more than anything else when in these visitations? That's a great question. You know, if I had Jesus appear to me, he talked to me about life and ministry, that would be a wonderful. You know, here's what people, carnal people do. What did Jesus look like? How tall was he? What kind of clothes did he wear? You know, all that's kind of like, forget about what he looked like. I mean, that has a place, but it's not my first question. I'm carnal. I don't mean no harm. I'm just trying to help us now. What did he say? That's what changed our life, not what he looks like. Because the scripture tells us there was nothing about him. Isaiah said there was nothing about him that was physically attractive to everybody else. And so what we find out here, Brother Hagin said, oh, that was simple. And when, you know, I heard the testimony, and then when he shared this, I was like, oh, I'm curious of what he's going to say. He said, that's simple. Jesus emphasized above all else being spirit-filled and walking and living in the spirit-filled life. He said, simple. Hands down, that's what he emphasized and talked about more, or he put the emphasis on that. Even though Brother Hagin, in explaining some things, may brought that out, but he brought other things out. So when that question was crafted that way, he said, oh, it was simple. Jesus emphasized the importance of being spirit-filled and walking in the spirit-filled life. And if we're going to be spirit-filled and walk in the spirit-filled life, we not only have to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues, we need to be praying in the Spirit and on a daily basis to understand its value, its purpose. And in these coming messages, we're going to be looking at the value, its scope, and its purpose. Tonight is not the message, but it's letting us know that it is the doorway. It is the beginning of our spirit-filled walk, speaking in other tongues, but it's the doorway to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the supernatural adventure that God would have us in life and ministry. And when I say in ministry, all of us have ministry. In other words, ministry in its simplest form is spelled P-E-O-P-L-E, people, others. Amen. Others. It's what, how we serve others. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. So this is important. And so the importance of being Spirit-filled. Yet, listen, the fact remains that ignorance and misunderstandings abound when it comes to this subject. Not only among those that don't speak with other tongues, but also those who do. You can always tell how powerful a truth is by the number of controversies the devil surrounds it with. And I don't know any other topic other than maybe healing that it has enough controversies in the body of Christ around then baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. Hallelujah. And a lot of times people say, well, you know what? I don't have a problem with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's just that tongue stuff. Well, they're one and the same. They're one and the same. Praise God. Now, in other words, it's the gift that the Holy Spirit gives when you're filled. Praise the Lord. And so it's important that we understand that. We must recognize the devil has been using controversy as a device down through the church history to prevent believers from having access to the most powerful truths of God. This is why he does attack this area, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and people praying in tongues, and as well as the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as well as especially healing. Oh, it's attacked. It's attacked. I said it's attacked. Therefore, the very reason... Okay, so let me say it like this. Yet controversies, misunderstandings, and misrepresentations primarily abound, though, because of the lack of sound biblical teaching as to the scope and value of being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. And that is exactly why I'm taking these number of weeks for these messages, to bring understanding, clarity, and to inspire its use in our lives. It's one thing to know what it is and to receive it and to use it. It's another thing to know it well enough to give it to someone else. And we need all of it. We need all of it. And you don't get it overnight or just because you heard it one way. And what trips up many believers is this fact here, that they hear something or a person ask a question or they say foolish things like this. Well, you know, the Apostle Paul took a pretty a grim view about speaking in other tongues. And without knowing the Scripture, you just take what somebody says as, well, I don't know how to answer that. When totally opposite is true. Totally opposite is true. And we'll look at that in closing tonight. So, with that being said, I want to close with these three final thoughts along the lines that will help us. Oftentimes, our denominational friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Everybody say, thank God for the Baptists. Thank God for the Methodists. Thank God for the body of Christ. I'm not making fun of any of that. And just because you're Spirit-filled doesn't mean you're special. It just means you're better off. Come on. Listen, oftentimes our denominational brothers and sisters in the Lord who don't speak in other tongues ask why do we give such prominence to speaking in tongues? Well, number one, we don't. But the reason it seems to be is because we always get asked questions about it. Or things surface in our area that we must clarify with the people so they understand. But we must also understand that biblical teaching is the key to biblical understanding. And so it must be taught. Matter of fact, first of all, the Apostle Paul gave some prominence to the subject of tongues. Exactly opposite of what some people would say, something like this. Well, you know, the Apostle Paul had a grim view on tongues. But exactly opposite is that. First, you can't say that without taking a scripture out of context. In context, just write this down, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. And let me tell you something, if he spoke more in tongues than the whole Corinthian church did, let me tell you something, he prayed in tongues because Paul had to write, this is why I'm saying Paul gave prominence to it. He wrote 3 chapters on it in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14, he did to address people's understanding of this and its importance. Because, listen, in fact, in his first letter, he wrote quite a bit about it in these 3 chapters. He did so because then as today, the subject was and is today, again, much misunderstood. Because, let me just tell you this, what people are not up on, they're down on. And what you don't understand, it's impossible for you to receive. This is why you must understand it and why it's important. The second reason is speaking with other tongues is the initial evidence and always manifested when one is baptized with the Holy Spirit. It is the supernatural evidence of the Holy Spirit's infilling in the person's life. I'm going to give you an example of this. We have in the second chapter of Acts, verse 4. When the Spirit of God was initially poured out on the day of Pentecost, how many know you? None of us are waiting for God to give us the Holy Spirit. He's waiting for us to receive it. Because since the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has been poured out. And we're really not waiting. And we're not really waiting for God to fill us like many of us think. He's waiting for us to receive. And this is what it says in verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice it was the initial evidence. They spoke in other tongues. Now, I'm going to say this again. I have said it numbers of times, but it's bear repeating. Acts chapter, all 5 instances that people were filled with the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. All 5 of those instances, 3 out of the 5, the Scripture clearly tells us that the initial evidence was they spoke with other tongues. And yet I can show you in the other 2, even though it doesn't directly say it happened right then, I can show you and prove to you that it did. For instance, it says in Acts chapter, one of those examples is when Saul of Tarsus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Ananias laid on hands on him so he could receive his sight and feel filled with the Holy Spirit. It didn't say then that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, but we know that it said right then he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It didn't say that he spoke with other tongues right then, but we know he did speak with other tongues because the Scripture clearly tells us, Paul said, I speak with tongues more than you all. So logically, when did he receive it? The same time everybody else received it. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of God came upon them. And so will we. I said, and so will we. It's only 2 reasons why we won't be filled. Either lack of faith, that means that we don't understand it. This is why it's important we teach on it, because that's how faith comes. Lack of faith or lack of understanding, or lack of yieldedness, not understanding that we are the ones that do the speaking. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability, the unction, the utterance, the ability to, but we do the speaking. Notice, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other, they began to speak with other tongues. Who spoke? The Holy Spirit? No, they spoke. The Holy Spirit gave them unction, utterance, the ability to speak the language, but it comes from down here. They had to voice it. And I can show you scriptures other, for time's sake, we won't tonight, but in Acts chapter 10, it tells us the same thing. Acts chapter 19, it tells us the same thing. They spoke when they were filled. They spoke with other tongues when they... But the point here is not only is it the initial evidence, but they, you and I, must do the speaking. Many people never receive until they understand that they are the ones that have to do the speaking. The Holy Spirit is not going to knock them in the head and make them speak in tongues. I used to drive down the road when I sought the Holy Spirit for months because I didn't understand this. And I would sometimes just say, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. You know I want the Holy Spirit. And I would open my mouth and going down the road and thinking that God was going to somehow take over my tongue and make me speak in other tongues. But when I understood that actually there was a unction, a want to, a stirring, there was words down here that and syllables down here that wanted to escape my lips, they wanted to come out, but I had to do what I say, hook my tongue up with that and speak it out myself. Until I did that, I wasn't filled. Because I did not understand how I to yield was to yield to the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is the supernatural evidence of the Holy Spirit's infilling in a person's life. That is speaking in other tongues. Now listen, where to speak, listen, when you are seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not seeking tongues, you're seeking the Holy Spirit. Tongues is the gift the Holy Spirit gives. It just comes with it. See, tongues is the gift the Holy Spirit gives. Yes, you do have the Holy Spirit in the being born of the Spirit, being born again. Absolutely. But this is another dimension. This is a gift, the doorway to the supernatural, the gifts of the Spirit, and being filled, amen, the initial evidence is you will speak with other tongues. Hallelujah, as the Spirit gives you the unction and the utterance. Aren't you glad? Last, the thing that we'll say tonight in closing, tongues and it's in its various forms. Everybody say tongues. That should not be a taboo or second class topic. And it shouldn't be something that's not understood. However, when I say tongues, it's S on the end means plural. This is why I say tongues in its various forms. All tongues are the same in essence, but different in purpose and use. And we'll share some of those things in the coming messages. That's not my topic right now or my thought right now. I'm letting you know this. But tongues, listen, here's what I want you to understand. Tongues and interpretation of tongues are distinctive to the dispensation in which we live in. And so in other words, what dispensation? The dispensation of the New Testament. So in other words, the tongues and interpretation of tongues are the only two of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit that are distinctive of only the New Testament. All the other seven were found in the Old Testament as well. But tongues and interpretation of tongues, the reason why they're distinctive of the New Testament is because the Holy Spirit wasn't poured out in the Old Testament like it is in the New Testament. And when the Holy Spirit poured out, two more gifts or manifestations of the Spirit were added to those original seven. What are the nine gifts of the Spirit? Well, let's talk about that really quickly. There's three that are revelation gifts. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. They reveal something. There's three power gifts or three gifts that do something. Special faith, worker of miracles, and gifts of healings. And then there's three that actually say or you could call them utterance gifts, vocal gifts. There's three that say something. They are prophecy and tongues and interpretation of tongues. So you could say it like this: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, special faith, working of miracles, gifts of healing, and prophecy are all found in both Old and New Testament. But tongues, interpretation of tongues are distinctive only, added to those other seven. All nine are found in the New Testament, but two are distinctive of the New Testament dispensation, and the reason that is, again, is because the Holy Spirit hadn't been given or poured out upon all flesh until the day of Pentecost. Amen. So, it's important that by understanding this, that we have, when we talk about that, you know, you talk about exciting things, things that are to our advantage. You know, that is the thing that turned me on about God, the Word. When I found out it was to my advantage of knowing what was there, that got me into it. Amen. And when you and I understanding the benefits that the Word of God talks about, including concerning the Holy Spirit, and how this Holy Spirit is to lead us and guide us, empower us, help us, how we're to work with Him, how He in the believer's life is the extension of the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth today. And matter of fact, it is His body that has the authority. Amen. In the earth today, and a lot of times we're asking God to do stuff that God has told us to do, like take authority, resist the devil. God can't resist the devil for you, nor will He. He's told us to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and He was flee. Why? Because you say, well, don't He have authority? Yeah, but He delegated to us. He's sitting at the right hand and of the Father, and He gave us the authority. His body has the authority in the earth. Amen. Matter of fact, don't you think that the Apostle Paul was a powerhouse? Come on. He was a powerhouse. But you know what? Here's the truth. If you're the smallest member in the body of Christ today, you got more authority today than the Apostle Paul does. You know why? Because Apostle Paul is in heaven. He don't need authority in heaven. Believers need authority in the earth. Come on. Come on. So important. Isn't God good? So let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's just for a moment lift our hands and thank God. Betsy, would you come? Amen. And play. Thank you so much. You're a blessing. And let's lift our hands and we're going to pray about a few things. And then I'm going to give an altar call.